Stone Paxton, new album, In the Key of Love.
I don't need no drinks tonight. Yeah, two mil, baby. Just want my baby, baby girl. When you can tell.
Key of Love, available at iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, and Pandora.
Naima, a timeless name for a timeless woman. Deep as the night, spirit of starlight, inspiration.
Yeah. song. Please send them along to me. They were sung by my dear Iranifa. Where, oh, where can she be? In a place where she did not belong. She tried her best to be strong. How she would sing this simple song. How my heart does long. Surely as a brown bird doth fly. I know I'll see her again. She'll fill in all the missing parts and take away the pain.
We'll be right back. world. We're back with yet another segment of Drive Time Radio and podcast soon to come. Yes, if you just tuned in, you're listening to FM 107.5, FM 107.7, respectively, live out of Metairie, Louisiana, as well as Christian Path, Mississippi. That's United Public Radio Network, UPRN, for those of you who are kind of new to this. Of course, if you're listening on satellite radio, we have to give big ups and big high fives to Spreaker.com, iHeartMedia, and a plethora of others. So many platforms. I would get in trouble for not remembering if I tried to remember all of them, so I'd just be in trouble for only remembering a couple. We'll do it that way. I'm going to be in trouble, but it's okay. Anyway, if you just tuned in, of course, you're listening to the You Heard It Here First broadcast team. That's myself, Benito Child, as well as Wild Bill Turner. And I do want to say that, you know, and I've never done this before, but because I read this dude's bio and it said what day he was born, I just thought it would be cool to go and see who else was born on the same day, same year as him. And so before I say who today's guest is for this evening's Drive Time Radio segment, they have in common a July 14th, 1948 birthday with Conor McGregor. Okay, well, no, they didn't do the year. Same day. Conor McGregor, MMA fighter, Jasmine Brown, Kylie Rae Hall, Stephanie Pappas, Luciano Spinelli, Dan Reynolds, Alexis Scott, Tamika Harris. Now, here it says that Tamika Harris is an R&B singer. I don't know what the rest of those people do. But what I do know, because I read the bio, is that Dan Kahn shares in common with them the same birthday. And as I understand it, we are speaking of the Kahn of the set. Yes, right. And I'm kind of to connect Gene Kahn. And so you're talking about the same family name. I'm not certain if we're talking about a marriage or we're talking about relatives. But what I do know is that Wild Bill Turner, who is our staff's resident historian, has got that all locked down. And I decided that because he does, he's going to lead the interview today. So everybody listen up. You heard it here first. World, I want to bring on Wild Bill Turner, and he will introduce today's guest. And you guys get to hang out for a little bit. I'll be right back. Welcome today.
This is one of our favorite episodes, one of our dynamite episodes. Any jazz historians, you're intrigued today because we have the legendary Mr. Dan Kahn from the fabulous, we all know the label if you're jazz historians, the fabulous Black Jazz label. He worked with so many folks like Stanley Turrentine, Lou Donaldson, Earth, Wind & Fire, the list goes on. Cindy Blackman. Welcome to the show.
Oh, it's good to be here.
Wow. It's awesome. We're going to go back all the way back to the very beginning. What was it like growing up in Florida?
Well, it was like growing up anywhere else, I guess, in the South. You know, it's not the same as growing up in the city. But I assume you mean, you know, what was the musical environment like?
Yes, correct.
And the musical environment was pretty rich, you know, because Florida's still on the eastern seaboard, you know.
Yes, sir.
And a lot of the people, you know, the Black people, educated people, military people, whatever, were highly mobile, you know. And so we knew what was going on in Philadelphia and Hartford, Connecticut, and then Harlem, you know. And in Washington, D.C. So those of us in the know, we weren't far behind at all. In many ways, we were ahead, you know.
I believe that was definitely true. Now, we want to know, what made you want to pick up the organ and piano as your first instrument?
Well, that's what I was exposed to. You know, my mother was a... Excuse me.
Not a problem.
Music teacher. And there was a piano in the house. We had a Steinway in the house, you know.
Awesome.
But I love the organ sound, you know. And just about time that my legs got long enough to reach the bass pedals, Jimmy Smith came out. So that was the end, you know.
Wow.
I it came out, but it came to prominence, you know.
You said the late, great Jimmy Smith. Now, who was your inspiration besides Jimmy Smith growing up who played the organ?
All of them. MacDuff, Jimmy McGriff, even Jackie Davis and Bill Doggett, you know, Earl Grant. It's quite a few of them.
Well, well, well. You've had illustrious
history. Johnny Hammond Smith.
Wow. You said so many. One of my favorites is Charles Erlin. Everybody knows the great Charles Erlin.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you, what was your learning experience in college, and how did it evolve your music foundation going to college?
Well, I didn't learn too much about jazz in college. You know, they didn't really have jazz programs many places in the middle 60s, you know.
Yes, sir.
But I did get a basic foundation in music theory and the classical music tradition, you know. Well, while I was in college, and especially in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, I got to see all of these great organ players and meet them in person and listen to their performances when they would come through to the major clubs, you know. There was one club there in particular in Atlanta, Georgia, that had all hosted all of the major organ players. And I was there to hear each and every one of them. You know, McGriff came through there. Dr. Lonnie Smith came through there. He was playing with George Benson's band then.
Wow.
Shirley Scott would come through.
She could swing.
Shirley Scott, yeah, would come through there. Richard Groove Holmes, all of them. It was just like being in Harlem.
I think
there was a black agency out of New York called Shaw Agency, and they booked all of these groups, you know.
That's amazing that you were in Georgia and you were able to see all of them musicians you only think you'll probably see in California or New York or Philly. You were able to see them down south in Georgia.
Yeah, Atlanta, Georgia. You know, Atlanta, Georgia's been the hub of black culture for a long time, you know. The only reason Harlem was because Harlem was in New York, you know. But
that was
during the Harlem Renaissance. But after World War II, because of all the black colleges there, you know, Atlanta was really the center for black culture, you know.
Yes, it is. When you had Morehouse, you had all them different schools. Wow.
Yeah, right.
So
when they made it and went for big, you know, then they go and establish themselves.
So how was the experience in the 1960s going to school down there in Georgia?
Well, just like I said, like anywhere else, you know. But if you're talking about specifically for the music and for jazz, that was it, you know. Because I guess the organ playing was the strongest thing there because, you know, they'd book Miles, but Miles changed his mind because he didn't want to come in the South with that racial prejudice, you know.
Yes.
So then they booked Coltrane, and Coltrane backed out too for the same reason. So then they booked Yusef Lateef in his place. You know?
Wow. So, Yusef Lateef is one of the greatest musicians ever lived.
Yeah, but the organ players.
I just want to insert, I got a question real quick.
Go ahead.
I heard the name Yusef Lateef, and I remembered him. When I was introduced to his sound, I happened to live on the Berkeley or Oakland a borderline up in Northern California, and there was one jazz station out of Berkeley, KRE, that broke Yusuf Lateef's sound to the Northern California Bay Area. What I would like to know is, since you were there, what type of impression or impact was he able to have on, we'll just call it, the racial resistance that was already there before he decided to say, yes, I'll come on through?
Well, I couldn't tell you that. But I can tell you, being from Florida, see, Yusuf was already in Cannonball Adderley's band, because Cannonball Adderley and Matt were from Florida, you know.
Okay.
So even though I was an organ player, Cannonball and Matt, and then to some extent, Blue Mitchell and others, you know, Fats Navarro, you know, they were like our heroes and our saving grace, so to speak, because we were Floridians too, you know. And people would have a tendency, you know, to condescend to people from the South, you know, like we didn't know as much as the people from the North, you know, not remembering that Diz and Coltrane both came from Carolina, you know, and even, you know, Miles and Bird from the Midwest. Nobody's from New York, you know. But they go there to make it big, you know. Quiet as it's kept, Philly produced more jazz than New York, you know. When you think about it, you know, Lee Morgan, Curtis Fuller, McCoy Tyler, Jimmy Smith, Jimmy McGriff, Benny Golson, Philly Joe Jones.
Some of those names
stick out to me.
Right.
Yes, they do. Those are a lot of legends, because he just said Philly. I think of Pittsburgh and people like George Benson from Pittsburgh. It's like a handful from Pennsylvania who were jazz artists.
Yeah,
really
Stanley Turrentine.
Yes.
From Pittsburgh. What's this drummer? I used to play Crawford's Grill all the time.
I'm not sure, but so many folks came from Pittsburgh.
They called him Kukumox. Kluk. Yeah.
But so many folks came from, and it's like, I'm going to have to say this. You evolved in an era that can never be matched again. Y'all were so ahead of your time in jazz musicians and in just life, period. Y'all took stuff to the next level.
Right, well, see, we were the product of the culmination of black development, you know. And so when integration came, that stopped. Because black people gave up what they were trying to do and said, well, we're free now. Everything's cool. We ain't got to worry about that. So it took another 20 or 30 years to realize that they were wrong, you know.
Yes, sir.
And by that time, the institutions that we had worked to develop had deteriorated past the point of repair.
That's crazy. Now we want to talk about how did you and Gene, how did your connection happen? How did y'all meet and how did your music connection happen?
Okay. You know what? You got me telling the same story over and over and over and over. I might as well write the book, you know. But I don't want to write the book because I don't want to give all the knowledge out to the general public, you know, because the more they know about you, the more they can use it against you, you know.
We totally understand.
I'm going to tell you since you're asking me, you know.
Yes, sir.
And what it was, she was a secretary.
Before you go there, then, let's just kind of step over to the side. I have a real quick question. Do you feel that at this point in your journey, that the amount of resistance, okay, that you spoke of, whether it's from the proverbial machine, the public, or just resistance period, is any more, any less than it was when you first got in the game?
Well, it's kind of difficult for me to hear exactly what you're saying, you know. But
I want to know. In other words, is it any worse or any less, or is it the same amount of resistance? You just get more and more tired from it, and that's what that's
like. It's worse and worse because the stakes are higher and higher, you know. You know, because
okay.
I mean, look at it this way. Ellis Marsalis taught Harry Connick Jr. how to play piano jazz, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Harry Connick Jr. makes more money than Wynton.
Well, I mean, if we're going to go there, then in show business, let's just say that it doesn't really matter whose turn it is to be the magic Negro that's going to make everything okay for everybody but himself. It's always somebody's turn to play that character. Would you not agree?
Well, see, the thing is,
it's been the turn of black folks for a long time.
Right. Well, see what is happening. They're gentrifying our culture, you know, as well as our neighborhoods, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the problem. And so, you know, that's why, you know, I won't teach, you know. A lot of these guys teach at these colleges. It's okay. But we're just teaching other people how to play our music, you know.
Basically,
you
know, to be me so that you don't need me any longer.
Right, right. It's that simple, you know.
I heard you.
You know, and see, the thing is, they're forgetting that we're Africans, you know. See, in our culture, art, dance, and music got two purposes. It's for the well-being of the people, and the good nature of the ancestral spirits. You know, that's all it's for. That's what our music is for. The well-being of the people and the good nature of the ancestral spirits. So the ancestral spirits is great-great-grandpapa and great-great-grandmama and, you know, Duke Ellington and Train and Harry Tubman, you know, and Shaka Zulu and Jomo Kenyatta. Those are the ancestral spirits, you know, not some spook, unimaginable things in the ether somewhere, you know, but they're for our dead relatives. Those are the ancestral spirits. That means if they hear it, they got to like it. So that means you got to keep the tradition. And the well-being of the people is that so our people will stay motivated and influence and, you know, have a good sense of their value and their uniqueness, you know. It's not for Chinese people, you know. It's not for Polish people, you know. It's for our people, you know. And where we come from, just about each tribe got their own music, you know. They damn near got their own gods too, you know. So, and so here, as soon as we get something going, we wanted to give it away, you know, and take it and marvel at how we can show other people.
If we're going to go there, would you or would you not agree that on the scale of sociology, even at the global level of sociology as an observer, is it not a true observation that the melanated man is a steward of the planet, a steward of social and cultural diamonds, if you will, mm-hmm. and that as steward, out of love, he wants everybody to have what he got. And really doesn't understand that he's being exploited. Not the part of him that's a soul.
Well, yeah, but see, you can't give everybody what you got because everybody is not responsible and everybody is not fair-minded, you know? And not everybody got your best interest at heart, you know? You know, you give it to them and then they use it against you. And try to take all of it and eliminate you, you know?
Somebody said that black folks are like a little kid who doesn't know But even though this is my birthday party, and that's my cake, and that's my pony, and those are my presents, that everybody here ain't really your friend.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're giving our blessing away, you know? You know, and see, I'm the kind of guy, I've never been all that particular about selling my music anyway, you know? It's, you know, I made enough to make a good living in my neighborhood, you know. I guess you could say I was naive, you know. I just figured if I wanted to be an architect, I'd go to a black college and study architecture, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then if I needed a little more that the black college didn't have, then maybe I'd try to go somewhere else and get a little more. But then when I come back home, I'm going to go in the black neighborhood and build buildings. You know, that's going to serve the best interests of the people in my community, you know. But I've never been too anxious to sell my music or to sell myself or let other people tell me who to play with, you know. You know, yeah, Doug, we're going to put you with this guy and that guy, you know. I said, no, I got my own band, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's interesting to have these discussions. You know, for all these years, we have articulated the problem and the issues very well, you know. And the thing is, what are we going to do about it, you know?
Well, I know we should. I just want to just kind of insert just for a second, if you don't mind me, Doug, and me, Mr. Khan. The difference at this point in today's world is that with the technology available, as we speak, you're being heard in
163
countries around the world.
Yeah, we can hardly talk, you know.
Right.
You know. But we can if we plan it and if you know, we meet in private or meet in secret, you know. I mean, you know, but we gotta be something like Masons, you know. You know, they come out and tell you that Masons a secret organization, you know. Well, I said, we're not a secret organization. We're an organization that's got secrets, you know. So, right. But then they come to us and say, man, what was Trey doing with Jive stuff to do with that? And so we tell them, we won't say, well, it's a secret, you know. You know. You got to be one of us, you know, to get that information, you know.
Well, even the musician's craft has its divine mask.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's not to be just given away. You got to earn that. You can't just...
Right.
It's more than just, this grade, where's my stuff at? No, hang on. What kind of human being are you? What you finna do with this here? No, what's your intention? But then you're not ready yet. You want to use it to go mess people up, make them do what you said, not what's the right thing. Well, you know what? We ain't giving you that map.
Yeah.
Stay where you're at. No different than Bruce Lee being called in and being told, look here, check this out. If you one more time say that you are the best martial artist in the world, I'm going to come over there to America and beat you up in front of that woman that you got married to and that whole Hollywood community. Look here, you're a movie maker. Okay, don't say you're the best fighter in the world no more. Okay?
Right.
Because you know that you can't work me. Now, going back to Hollywood and enjoy this thing that you created when you took you. Mm-hmm. You're going to teach everybody for $19.99 a week. You two right. Have a black belt. You and Chuck Norris, y'all gone. See?
Right.
I happen to know people, okay, who told me this story and said that they was in the room when they happened, and I could just sit there and just fly out. So I could only imagine that your music business got to be the same way. There's got to be a lot of cats like you who's like, you know what, man, I do it because it's what I do. All this other, you know, pomp and ceremony and all this. Yeah. For y'all, if you want to do that. If I need money, there's other things that I have learned in part of my arsenal for how I feed me when, you know, nobody appreciates my music but me. We good.
Yeah.
Everybody can't be. Everybody can't do it like that. You know, I got to say it out loud. My hat is off to you.
Yeah, because, see, it's deeper than that anyway, because even if you try to teach it to other people, they'll only get the surface of it anyway. So, I mean, it's nothing they can do but try to exploit it, because they can't develop it spiritually. Then I'm going to give you one example, and then maybe we can go on to another aspect of this whole thing. You know, most of our people in America, if they're not Christians, they came up in the church, right?
Correct.
Now, have you ever seen a white preacher that could open the doors of the church?
You got me thinking right there.
Now, you know what I'm talking about? Opening the doors of the church.
Break it down to us for all of our listeners.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you come a Baptist or Pentecostal, any black church, you know, invoke the Holy Spirit, you know, and the doors of the church open, you know.
I've never seen a Caucasian man make it rain. I've never seen a Caucasian man call thunder nor lightning.
Well, I'm just talking about opening the doors of the church.
Connecting with the source of what made it all possible and using that to open two doors connected to the front door of the building called the church. No, I ain't never seen it.
Right. Yeah. So what I'm saying, you know, damn if you do, damn if you don't, you know. But I ain't in no hurry. What I've been waiting on is for our people to wake up. That's why I haven't put out a lot more albums, you know, because I'll just be making more things for them to profit on and exploit, you know. And then they're all the critics, you know. You know, they're all the critics and do all the connotation and analyzation now. If you remember my biggest album, you know, the one everybody knows the most, is Revelation. But take all of the Infinize, but take all of the black jazz now. Did Infinize have any liner notes? Who wrote the liner notes for Infinize?
I don't know.
Infinize didn't have no liner notes.
I know Revelation doesn't.
None of them. They just had the songs on there, and who wrote them, you know, and the copyright information. But the people listen to it and they like it, you know, and they know what it is, you know. You ain't got to explain to them what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like good weed in the cellophane wrapper with no label on it.
Yeah, right.
You need to hit it, and if it's worth smoking weed, then everybody wants some. You ain't got to go be jumping up
right.
About, guess what?
Right.
You need this right here. It's
when they go to explaining it, they explain it for people who don't understand, so they will kind of know what they're buying and they can categorize it and market it, you know. You know, I ain't for that. That's why you only see me so far out there, you know. But I'm about 70 years old now. I'll be 71 in a month, and I'm going to concentrate on performing in Africa and in the black community over here, you know. I'm about on my last trip to Europe. I've been to Europe enough, you know. But if they had told me when I was coming out as a kid, you know, yeah, man, you can play jazz, but if you're going to be famous, you got to perform mostly to white audiences. You know, I probably would have tried to find something else to do, you know. You know, I was believing that the black audience were going to get more and more cultivated, you know. And so I look at what's going on. It's just like a higher level of a minstrel show, you know. You know, black people up on the stage, singing and dancing, you know, amazing, doing amazing gymnastic feats of music. And the white people out there saying, whoa, wow, you know.
And for this, they get to live in the better neighborhood and owe a bigger karma.
And a better neighborhood ain't really no better. They just got you perceiving that. If our neighborhood was so much worse, why do they want to gentrify it now and live there themselves, you know?
Now, that's
you
true.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
He makes one hell of a...
Man, that's how get me started. Because y'all don't have me out there on a limb. Then when they come after me, I ain't going to be able to find you, cuz. To give me no y'all just making me talk. So,
man,
y'all feel good.
I'm happy
you're
talking.
We got to do something about it, man. We got to do something about it. You know, you have to organize in private and really don't have no organization with no big manifesto about what we're going to do, you know, because you just let them know how to stop you there. But we either got to do something about it or leave here.
Knowing that we didn't. You're right.
Yeah.
You're all right.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. But we explain it, man. We write books, you know. We explain it very well, you know. And I don't know how long it's going to take us to realize that the man ain't going to do right, you know. You know, if he... ain't done right
See, let me say this about that, okay? And this is my observation, and I'm 10 years behind you. You're 48, I'm going to 58, okay? So Huey Newton, Angela Davis, and Eldridge Cleaver walked me to school, okay, in North Oakland, after they broke into the grocery market and stole the food and said, no young black children in this neighborhood will be going to school in the morning with no food. So I was there for all of that.
Right.
Okay. And I was also there to return to Berkeley and see that the so-called revolution that everybody was talking about had turned into, well, the yuppie lifestyle of the 80s. Complete with the penny loafer shoes and the BMW and whatever. I joined corporate America. And, you know, thank God I didn't buy into any of it. You know, every book I ever read that speaks to spirituality says, follow no man, follow the truth. Be looking for it, it's looking for you. Okay? That being said, all right, well, you know, we have well defined the problem, okay? But anybody who wrote the book that properly defined the problem should have figured out when the other people came to them and said, hey, now that you've identified that I'm the problem, you know what we can do for you? I can make you a whole lot of money telling on me. You and I are going to be partners. Who didn't fall for that? Who didn't fall for it?
Yeah.
If you wrote a book that properly defines the problem in black America as we know it today, and it paid your house note, would you in partners with the dudes you would describe it as the problem? I put it where it's at, I stay in trouble. But be in trouble for something that matters. That's all I'm saying.
You're right.
Y'all heard it here first. And I don't know. You are so real, I can't help myself. What am I supposed to do? We were supposed to be talking about music and so on and so forth, but you know what? It is all relative. Wouldn't you say so, Wild Bill?
Yes, indeed. Yes, I do think so. Y'all had me thinking. Seriously thinking.
You know what? That's what we do here. We ask questions and we talk out loud about what's on our mind. You know, it is music talk radio, and it is about the industry, and we do have, you know, a very refined, astute musician on with us this afternoon for Drive Time Radio, who has seen, okay, not only the beginning, but the result of what we are discussing here, okay? And a lot of negative messages is in today's music being pointed at our kids as well as everybody else's kids. Yeah. That being said, I got to stop and let you know that if you just tuned in, you are listening to Music Talk Radio. This is UPRN, FM 107.5, coming to you live out of Mattery, Louisiana, and Christian Pass, Mississippi. Also, we want to give big ups to Spreaker.com, iHeartMedia, and many other additional platforms in the virtual world. That being said, I want to turn the show back over to Wild Bill Turner.
Well, that's great. That's great. He's been saying some heavy stuff. But we still want to know, how did you meet one of my favorite singers of all time, Miss Jean?
Well, you know, maybe we'll save that for part two. We've already been talking 40 minutes. And I got to keep moving on. I got a bunch of things on my plate. But the way that I met her was that she was a secretary at a booking agency, a black booking agency, that I was doing arrangements for in Atlanta. I was writing arrangements for people like the Tams and the Major Lance and a lot of his local acts, you know.
Wow.
And that's how I met her. She was a secretary there. And every day I come to work, she'd be singing under her breath along with the radio. Every time a song would come on, you know, she would sing it, you know. So I told her, got it on the agency. I said, man, you booking these people that you got me writing this music for, but they can't sing. I said, Gene is the one you should be booking. Well, he said, oh, she ain't no real singer. She sang with the choir, Morris Brown, and in church, but she not no real singer. I said, the hell she ain't. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, so it went from there. But it's good talking to you. I just can't keep.
I understand. We just have
more things on the plate.
I totally understand. We have one more.
Thank you for coming on with us. No, we did have one last question that we asked everybody on the air. If you was talking to young people, when I understand that you've been a college professor before, but I want you to just think of it like, you know, look, I only got the amount of time between we got on the elevator and we're going to get off in the lobby. That's all the time I got. I'm a young musician. I ask you a question, advise me. How do I survive? What's out there? What's the best thing for me to do? I already got time. So I already got a career. What do I
do? Well, look, if you can play good, hone your craft well. If you can play good, somebody will want to hire you. But as far as all this BS that's going on, you got to put up with it, you know. You know, until you can do better, you know. But just don't forget who you are, you know. And don't sell all the way out. Because when you sell all the way out, you ain't got no more bargaining chips. You know?
Wow. Well, that's excellent advice.
Yeah, you just got to put up with it.
All the way out. Right.
Yeah. You can't act like it's not real, you know. You know.
In other words, if you go commit an act of prostitution, don't just let it all out in one.
Don't give it all up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is solid worldly advice for today's young musician who wants a career doing this that leads to the kind of money that pays hot smokes and puts kids through college. I want to say thank you for coming on the air and lacing our boots, Dan Karn, Wild Bill. Take us to the next segment. Y'all been listening to UPRN.
We're
going to
get into a hairgasm.
You know what? Let's do that.
We're going to play some music.
You know what? Everybody, if you're driving, you might want to make sure that your seatbelt is buckled and that you're hanging on, you know, with both hands. Be paying attention, but this right here is going to be good for you. Let's have a hairgasm.
Peace and blessings, and let's get into some music. Good night, y'all. Good day.
Good night.
Worldwide.
Thank you.
please send them along to me. They were sung by my dear Iranifa. Where, oh, where can she be? In a place where she did not belong. She tried her best to be strong. How she would sing this simple song. How my heart does long. Surely as a little brown bird doth fly, I know I'll see her again. She'll fill in all the missing parts and take away the pain.
have us some land. I hope for the day that you understand. We must have us some land. I hope for the day that you understand.
Power to the people, power to all the people. We must use our power to make a new land.
Some land. I hope for the day that you understand. We must have us some land. I hope for the day that you understand.
Thank you.
gather near God's children. Listen well, my people. It is time.
Understand. We must have us some land, hope for the day that you understand.
Power to the people, power to all the people. We must use our power to make a new land. To be free, 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 freedom, free, free.
Spread the love around the world. Every little boy and every little girl. The tribal sun is rising, let me shine his light forevermore. Hold your hands and shine so brightly. Cast the stone and set it rightly. Spread the vibe around the world. For every little boy and every little girl. The tropical sun is rising, let it shine its light forevermore. So ba 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 ba. For Joey, for Marion and Abdul, for Michael and Philip and Abdel Hak and Douglas too. Now this song is an international children's song, and I want to say the changes to this song right here on the record, so all little kids all over the world will learn how to play the music to this song. Okay, here we go. F major, B minor, F major, E minor, F major, E minor, D minor, C major, F major, E minor, F major, E minor, F major, E minor, D minor, C major, 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 F major, E minor, D minor, C major. I come along and sing a song of praise and thanks and glory. Everlasting be the man, I'll slip the child's power and love and mercy. Now I'm standing past the test, expand the breast, see the essence of this world, Spanish in the spell, my heart that tells the seasons, rhymes, and what is my desire. Vibe around the world. Every little boy and every little girl. The tropic sun is rising,
and let him shine his light forevermore. All join hands and shine so brightly. Cast the stone and set it rightly. Shines like evermore. So ba 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 ba.
Say, man, what country are you from? What's your thing?
Me, I'm Ricky, brother. Top Lick is your mat.
Oh, yeah? Where you coming from with them long clothes?
Malaysia, Sudan, Peru, Trinidad.
Wow! Where you going next?
Florida.
Florida? What's in Florida?
The Casbah.
What's in the Casbah?
My
child, your affection, ancient mystery of my mind. Look in my direction, woman, whenever you find the time. Live a life so warm and low, a feeling so sublime. Won't you come and stay with me? What peace and joy you'll find. I've searched for you for endless years. You know the time is now. So it's cry a million tears, but you can make it dry. You're such a young tender love, like a little butterfly. He must have sent you from above to take me to the sky. Shadows fall, you and I the breeze.
Shortage of good men, but I'm one.